El.
Fuck, what is it? I don't know. Wait, you know, should we check it?
I do know, but let's go.
Let's put it in the show notes.
Revisor. I don't know. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 27 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Episodio 27. How are things for you, Craig?
I'm fantastic. How's life treating you, my good friend?
Very well, very well. The last time we spoke, you said you were doing some oral examining. How did that go?
It was promising. Got some strong students, some very good students. We got some weak students as well, but I was generally quite happy with the level.
Did you hear a lot of those typical Spanish pronunciation errors? Did you get many people saying, "Hello, my name is Javier. I am very happy to be here." Did you get many of them?
Unfortunately, there's the H problem there. And I always tell my students who wear glasses or sunglasses, just imagine you're taking off your glasses and you're cleaning them. Estás limpiando las gafas. And you, what do? You do this. On the glasses, on the lenses, you go.
You don't go jota.
No.
Or you'd spit on them.
usually the H sound in English is like this. It's so hello, how are you? Happy birthday. Have a shower. So that's the not from the throat, not de la garganta, not from here. From the mouth. Hello.
That's a really good tip for Spanish speakers.
I think if you practice cleaning your glasses, and you will get the H sound. We have some feedback, Reza.
Uh-huh.
Our first person who wrote to us is Lucrecia, who is a Spanish speaker living in London. And Lucrecia says, "Hi there, I'm Spanish. I've been living in London since 2 years ago." Since 2 years ago should be...
Actually, since 2 years ago.
What would you say?
No, actually, you can't say that, can you? Since 2 years ago.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's not wrong.
Since 2 years ago?
It's not wrong, but it's better to say for 2 years.
For 2 years.
But it's not wrong to say since 2 years ago. It's not, technically, it's not wrong.
Okay. So, well, okay. If you want more information...
But it's much better to say for 2 years.
I would say for 2 years or since 2012. Since 2012.
Yeah, but it isn't technically wrong to say since 2 years ago.
Okay, well then I apologise.
No, but for thinking
it was a mistake.
Uh-huh.
If you want to find out more information on these time expressions for use with the present perfect, go to episode with Bea, where we spoke about the present perfect. I can't remember the episode number, but I will put the link, el enlace, in the show notes, las notas de episodio, that you can find on inglespodcast.com, so you can study and revise your time expressions, expresiones de tiempo. So Lucrecia continues and says, "I still find quite difficult to understand people talking." Pronoun missing there.
I still find it.
Correct. I still find it quite difficult. Mm-hmm. To understand people talking, but thanks a lot for your teaching. It's very useful. Regards, Lucrecia.
Thank you,
Lucrecia. I hope you're enjoying your stay in London. Another message from Argentina. Tatania from Argentina.
Tell me it's a dulce de leche recipe.
I did reply to Tatania's comment, and I said, please send Reza a recipe for dulce de leche. He wants to make it at home, and nobody's sent him a recipe. So let's see if Tatania replies. She says, "You do a very good job."
Thank you.
"It's encouraging that people like you do this for free." Mm-hmm. "Only because you want to teach us a new language. I'm from Argentina, and I often hear this audio."
I often listen to this podcast.
Yeah, what's the difference between hear and listen to?
Hear is unplanned, or you didn't make an effort to do it, it just happened. Whereas listen to is you planned.
It's more active.
or you actively made an effort to listen.
It's a bit like the difference between watch and see. See is like a sense, like hear. So you see something whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. But when you watch something, es más activo. You're watching the television, you're watching a football game, you're watching a sport or an activity.
Yeah.
Actively. Congratulations, continues Stefania. Never stop doing this. Well, I don't know. never stop doing this. But we'll see. Grammatica. Do you have any grammar for us this week, Reza?
Yes, I'm afraid it's more modals and that type of thing. Should and had better.
Should and had better. For advice?
That's right. Now, hopefully listeners remember from the last episode, that's episode 26, we said that have to equals, more or less, must for obligation.
That's right.
Have to. Now, had better is nothing to do with have to. It's completely different. Had better, that's H-A-D, had better equals should, kind of, more or less.
Mm-hmm. So it's used for giving advice, consejo.
Advice. Yeah, it never changes. It's always had better. Not have better, will have, having, no, had better. There's only one form which does not change.
Okay.
So, is there any difference between should and had better? Yes, they're both for advice. For example, the doctor said to me, "You should lose weight." He said to me, "You should lose weight."
You're probably more likely to say that to me than to you.
No, both of us. Both of us.
I should lose weight.
So he was giving me advice, friendly advice. You should lose weight. Debes perder peso.
Debes o deberías?
O deberías, yeah.
Debes would be you must, wouldn't it?
Oh, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. Maybe deberías is a better translation, yeah. To make it more polite, whereas you must lose weight, as we said last week, would be stronger advice. You're right. Deberías is a better translation. Now, what if the doctor, imagine the doctor said this, Reza, you had better lose weight urgently. If not, you will have a heart attack. Imagine the doctor said that to me. You had better lose weight.
But it sounds like it's stronger advice.
It's stronger, exactly. So had better is kind of the same meaning of should, but it's more emphatic. It's stronger. It usually implies that there will be consequences or problems if you don't do it. The consequence for me, if I don't lose weight, is I will have a heart attack.
Es más fuerte, vamos.
Es más fuerte. You had better lose weight, deberías perder peso urgentemente. Si no, vas a tener un ataque en el corazón. You will have a heart attack, will be the consequences. So, had better is stronger. Very often it's used to imply a threat. A threat. Una amenaza is another reason for using had better.
So, it's like, si no haces eso, eso pasará. No?
Yeah. So it could be you'll have a problem, or it could be a threat, una amenaza, someone trying to scare you. For example, imagine the mafioso said, "You would better pay us the money, or we'll burn your shop down."
It would be unfortunate if there were to be a fire in your premises and you were to lose your shield.
You pay the protection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, mafia, protection, tricks, they say that you'd better pay them money, and if not, there'll be a problem. They threaten you. Threaten is amenazar.
Amenazar.
So, you'd better is a better expression than should if you want to imply that there's a threat. Una amenaza.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, had better has only one form. That's because it nearly always refers to the near future. You had better pay us the money or we'll burn down your shop next week or in a month soon. So there's no past form of had better. There's no future form of had better. It's just had better. It doesn't change. Don't confuse it with the past of the verb have. Just like, I had a drink last night. tomé una cerveza
noche. So it's like
it's nothing to do with that hat.
It's like an expression, like a
it's
language
a fixed expression.
Chunk, un trozo de lenguaje.
Un trozo, a chunk. You should learn it as a chunk. Had better. They're inseparable, and it's a stronger form of should. Now, should, which is similar to ought to, which we mentioned a few weeks ago, should can be used in the past. Imagine I say this to you. I should have listened to my wife. She told me to stop drinking. I didn't. Now I'm an alcoholic. Too late. I should have listened. What? Or I
we
could
always,
say...
We always speak about getting drunk.
Here we do, yeah.
Food and drink.
Food and drink. That's our main motivation in life. And podcast. And don't think I let you.
Sorry,
that's food.
I interrupted you.
Okay, so should, unlike had better, can be used in the past. It's should plus have, and then the past participle. For example, I should have listened to my wife. She told me to stop drinking a long time ago. I didn't. Now I'm an alcoholic. Too late. I should have listened. Debería de haberle escuchado. Debería. In the past.
So it's the have, the perfect have, that puts the modal verb should in the past. Should have, should have.
Yeah. Should, if you want to make should past, if you want to make should past, it's should plus have. And then follow that with the past participle.
Past participle.
So, debía de haber escuchado a mi esposa. I should have listened. Whereas, let me repeat again, had better has no past form. Should have can have a past form. Should have plus
and the pronunciation is difficult, isn't it, for Spanish speakers? That should have, should have.
Well, let's talk about contractions. You can say should have, should have. I should have listened to my wife. And in fact, you can write it S-H-O-U-L-D apostrophe V-E. I should have listened. Should have, I should have listened. Debía de haberle escuchado. And I had better, you can shorten had to apostrophe D.
Right.
The mafioso said, you would better pay us the money or we'll burn your shop down. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Craig, is there anything you should do but you don't because you're lazy or many things?
How much time do you have? I have a long list of things I should do.
Tell us the most urgent things that you should do but you don't.
I should get up earlier and do more work. I'm becoming lazy. I should watch less TV. And the negative, I shouldn't. I shouldn't watch so much TV in the evenings.
Ha, you've used the negative. Should not. Contraction.
Shouldn't.
Yeah. Tell us about listeners wanting to improve their English. What should they do? What shouldn't they do?
Well, it depends what part of their English they want to improve. If they want to improve their listening, they should listen to this podcast. They should listen to the listenings on La Mención del Inglés website. They should listen to pop songs in English with translations. They should listen to films in original version. They should find English speakers in their area. They should get in touch. Estar en contacto, encontrar gente. Get in touch with people who want to practice English in their area. They should search the internet for websites to improve their listening.
Okay. Should they watch films in Spanish, listen in Spanish with English subtitles?
I don't think they should, because when you do that, you usually focus on the Spanish and start enjoying the film and forget to read the English. So I suggest maybe watch it first, as you've suggested in the past.
Uh-huh.
Back in episode 2 or 3,
yeah,
you suggested that listeners watch it first in Spanish, then you know the story, then go back and watch it from the beginning in English with English subtitles.
Actually, I think even better than that is to watch it first in English, listen in English, then second in Spanish, and then a third time in English again. English, Spanish, English.
That's good.
That's what I think they should do. That's Did you notice that Craig asked you, should they watch the film in Spanish? I asked you a question with should.
Mm-hmm.
No do. No auxiliary with should. It's similar to other modals like must, which we talked about in the last episode. There's no auxiliaries with the modal.
So all you do to ask the question is you invert.
Just the same as must.
Invertir, no, it's not invest.
It can also mean invest, but it also means invert.
Okay. Yeah. So you invert where you say the statement is you should. Mm-hmm. So the question is should you?
Should you?
They should they? So you just change the position of the pronoun and should.
That's it.
Or the modal verb.
Yep. And to make it negative, add not.
Should not.
No, don't. No, doesn't. And third person singular, no S. He should. Should plus S, should doesn't exist. He should. So Craig thinks that he should do many things, and he thinks people who want to improve their English should do many things.
Can I ask you the same question? What things do you think you should do and shouldn't do that you don't do or do?
I should tidy my house a lot more. My mum would kill me if she saw it. You know how house proud my mum is. I shouldn't spend so much time watching TV like you.
How much time do you spend watching TV?
Lately, a lot more than I used to. 2 hours a day.
Yeah, same with me, about 2 hours. It's too much, I think. An hour maximum.
Half an hour is what I used to spend. Yeah. I recommend, by the way, that our listeners spend half an hour watching TV or internet in English. Hmm. For example, BBC, the news and things like that, which is what I used to do. I used to spend about half an hour watching BBC news, and that was it.
Absolutely.
And I think listeners should do the same. But they shouldn't spend much more time than that. They should be out and about being active. Mm-hmm. Craig, I think I'd better stop now. Is it time for some vocabulary? I'd better stop now.
Let you
get on with some vocabulary?
I think we'd better move on to the vocabulary section.
Let's move on.
So, vocabulary corner. This week I thought we could speak a little about music, because you studied music, didn't you, Reza?
I did. I've got a degree in music.
That's right. Where did you study?
At a place called Dartington College of Arts.
Is that in Ireland?
No, it's in the southwest of England, in Devon.
Ah,
near Cornwall, near where Becky's from. I say near Cornwall, but not Cornwall. Cornwall and Devon hate each other. they're neighbours and they're rivals. Becky's from Cornwall, and I lived for 3 years in Devon, which is beside Cornwall in the southwest of England.
Did you enjoy studying music?
I did. It was my intention to become a professional musician, in fact, a violinist. But I had a few health problems with my wrist, which affected my playing, so I had to give it up. And now the world is lucky that I became an English teacher instead. I could do these podcasts for free. I don't need good wrists for that.
The podcasting world is richer for having you in it. Can I throw at you, can I say some English expressions connected to music? Can you try and translate them to Spanish?
All right.
Bass player.
Bajista.
Bajista, because bass is bajo, isn't it?
Bajo.
It's bajo for the instrument, and it's also when you get like a bass in a speaker, it's also bajo.
That's right.
Yeah, bass. Lead singer.
Ooh. Vocalista?
Yeah, I think so. The person who sings at the front in a band, for example, the lead singer of Led Zeppelin was Robert Plant.
Yeah.
The lead singer for the Beatles. Did the Beatles have a lead singer?
Well, two. Not really. Well, they did Lennon and McCartney.
Paul and, yeah. And sometimes...
Sometimes George Harrison
sometimes
as
George
well.
Harrison, yeah. So the lead singer, the person who leads llevar el grupo. Yeah.
Often people also say the front man or front woman.
Yeah, the front man, yeah, of the band. The front man of the band. Mm-hmm. Drummer.
In Spanish, they normally say el batería.
El batería, yeah, because batería is also drums.
It's the drums, it's the instrument that they play, the drums or the drum kit.
The drum kit.
But the person in Spanish, they also say batería, as far as I know.
So Ringo Starr was the drummer in the Beatles.
That's right.
There was an interview and the journalist asked John or Paul, I can't remember, do you think Ringo is the best drummer in the world? And Paul said, he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. Because Paul and John, I think, both played the drums. Guitarist is quite easy because guitar is similar in Spanish, yeah. Isn't it?
Guitarista.
Guitarista. And of course, the lead guitar is the person who plays the electric guitar, not the bass guitar. Keyboard player.
Well, no? Craig, could be an acoustic guitar.
I've put my foot in it.
Could be acoustic guitar, guitarra acustica.
Yeah.
Could be, which is not electric. That can be the lead guitar sometime.
Depends on the track, la pista. Depends on the track that's being played. What about keyboard player?
Well, that's a good question. The keyboard is el teclado.
Teclado. The same as a keyboard on a computer.
Yep, same teclado. Word. And,
keyboard.
But the player, I'm not sure. El que toca el teclado, tecladista? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know the word for that.
Okay, we'll check it and we'll put the translation in the show notes at inglespodcast.com. Conductor. That you should know this because classical music, you studied classical music, the man or woman with a baton.
I've done a bit of conducting, actually. I've conducted a small orchestra and a choir.
Conductor?
No. Es director.
Director de música.
Not conductor. Conductor is only driver in English. Someone who drives a car, for example, is el conductor.
Do you remember in London the old buses had a drop before they became automated, there used to be a driver and a conductor.
That's right.
And the conductor took your money and gave you the ticket.
Yes, that was conductor.
That would be conductor in Spanish, I think.
I don't think it is. No, okay. The conduct. See, it's very confusing. El conductor is the driver. For example, the bus driver, el conductor.
Or if a lorry, a lorry driver.
El conductor de camión. So el conductor in the bus is not the conductor. It's
that's
the
true.
Bus driver. The conductor is el...
What is it? I don't know. Wait, no, should we check it?
I do know, but I've...
Let's put it in the show notes.
Revisor. I don't know. The conductor in Spanish is el revisor.
Revisor.
El revisor, because revise to
revise.
Billete.
Ah, okay.
Revise, no, he looks at, he checks.
He checks the ticket.
That is the Spanish for conductor is revisor.
Mm-hmm.
So in English, a conductor is not a person who drives, ever.
That's interesting. That's quite confusing as well.
It can be a person on a bus, but they're not driving. They're checking your ticket. Or it can be the person who controls an orchestra. That's
right.
A conductor.
What about audience?
Audiencia.
Yeah. Don't confuse audience with spectators, listeners. Audience, you have an audience for a performance, a concert, and you have spectators at a sporting event. So football, tennis, Formula One racing have spectators, and audience are for performances and music concerts. Loud music. Loud, the opposite of soft.
Yes, this is such an important word in music, and very often my students don't know it. Loud music, de volumen alto.
No se dice fuerte.
De mucho volumen.
Música fuerte.
No? You could say fuerte as well.
Okay.
Yeah. But you see, fuerte is such an ambiguous word in Spanish. For example,
strong,
very heavy metal, you could say que fuerte. But you don't necessarily mean the volume, you mean it's just really hard music. So it's quite an ambiguous term, fuerte. That's why I explain it as de volumen alto.
And many of my Spanish students would say the music is too strong, meaning it's too loud.
Too loud is what they should say.
So they badly translate fuerte for strong. When you speak about music, it's loud music or soft music.
Soft, which Spanish people also forget, Spanish speakers. Soft is de volumen bajo.
Yeah.
Soft.
Oh, blando. Could be blando. But not when you speak about music. And the stage where the performers play, where the musicians play on a stage?
Yeah.
Escenario.
Ah, in Spanish, escenario.
Escenario.
Okay. Yeah.
So the preposition is on stage.
Yeah.
The performers are on the stage. And finally, backing singers. The singers that stand behind the lead singer and sing in the background to give the melody.
What is that in Spanish?
No idea whatsoever.
Not el coro. El coro is a choir or chorus.
A choir in a church.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the vocabulary for this week. Moving on to idioms. Reza, do you have any idioms for us this episode?
Well, would it be interesting to look at idioms which aren't really logical?
Are there any idioms that aren't logical? I suppose there are, yes.
Yes, there are.
Do you have any examples?
For example, to have your cake and eat it.
To have your cake and eat it. That sounds strange.
Now, if you were to translate that literally, it's tener tu pastel y comerlo.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners might think, well, yeah, that's normal. When you have a piece of cake, then you eat it. That's why you have it. That's true. However, when we use this idiom in English, to have your cake and eat it, what we mean is that you're asking for too much. You're asking for too much.
So
you should be happy that we've given you a piece of cake, but don't eat it. Not yet anyway. That would be just too much.
But if you have the cake, of course you're going to eat it.
I know. I agree. It's not really logical, but that's what we say. To have your cake and eat it is to have too much, to ask for too much.
What would be an equivalent expression in Spanish? Any idea?
I'm not sure.
What about no se puede tener todo?
Yeah.
Yeah. No se puede tener todo. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Okay. Can you think of any other idioms which aren't really logical?
Well, when pigs fly is very strange to me. Pigs, you say pigs might fly, or when pigs fly,
mm-hmm.
it's when you speak about something that you're sure will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of my favorite actresses is Keira Knightley mm-hmm. from the Pirates in the Caribbean series. I think she's gorgeous. So, yeah, I mean, me going out on a date or me going out for dinner with Keira Knightley, yeah, right, and pigs might fly. Yeah,
unlikely. It'll happen when hell freezes over.
Or when hell freezes over. Cuando infierno se congela.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Another one that occurs to me, it's cheap at half the price.
Yes, I find that really funny because it's just complete nonsense, but we say it.
It's cheap at half the price.
Yeah, it's when you want to say that, yes, that is cheap. For example, how much is this bottle of beer? 20 cents. You say, wow, that's cheap at half the price.
Well, of course Qué it barato. Would be, because if it's 10 cents, it would be cheap.
Yeah, it's so obvious. Everything is cheaper and at half the price. It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, does it? It doesn't make sense.
That's what we say. Cheap at half the price means it's very cheap.
No tiene sentido. Some strange expressions that I remember from childhood that my parents used to say to me, for example, they would say, wipe that smile off your face.
Oh, yes.
Quitar la sonrisa de la cara. Wipe is limpiar.
Yeah.
Wipe that smile off your face, young man.
It's used as a threat, isn't it? Una amenaza.
Like, yep.
If you don't stop smiling, I'll hit you or...
Or you'll be laughing on the other side of your face.
Yeah.
You'll be laughing on the other side of your face, young man.
So stop laughing now or something terrible is going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another one, I'll give you a good hiding. Or in American English, you might say, I'll give you a good spanking. Te va a golpear bien.
Mm-hmm.
A good hiding, because hide is esconder, to hide.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you hide, they can't find you to hit you.
That's true. But you know what it might come from? It might come from the word hide, which means the skin of an animal. It might come from that. Some connection with that.
Isn't hide trastero, like the part of the back?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
The skin on the back part of an animal.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you're going to be spanked.
I never...
You're going to hit your bottom.
I never thought of that. That's true.
Your hide will become painful.
Well, now it makes...
Probably comes from that.
Now it makes more sense.
Another one I like, which is kind of logical, but not really, is if you want to say that something is very unlikely to happen, or it's not going to happen for an extremely long time, you will say, oh, never in a month of Sundays.
30 days of Sundays.
Never in a month of Sundays, that means, oh, nunca, nunca, jamás.
Nunca pasará.
No va a pasar. Never in a month of Sundays.
It will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Never in a blue moon.
Ah, hold on. Once in a blue moon. Once in a blue moon means it probably will never happen, or if it does, it's so rare that it's irrelevant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon. Isn't there a Spanish way to say that? No. Don't know.
Okay. One more. You mark my words, mm-hmm. which means I will be right.
Mm-hmm. I've said something and it's going to happen.
You mark my words, because mark you may know as receiving a mark for an exam, mm-hmm. which in Spanish will be una nota. Una nota. But before it used to be used for write, escribir. So put your mark here would be sign here, or write your name here. So if you mark my words, then you write my words. You put something down on paper.
Sign it, remember it, because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Mark my words, there is going to be another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reze Craig. Mark my words, we're going to be very successful one day. Do you have any more idioms?
I can't think of any more illogical ones for now.
Okay, maybe we'll come back with some more next episode. But we have to stop there, so we had better say goodbye. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying with us. And remember, you can send us an email or a sound file if you have a question or a comment. And send your communications to me at craig@inglespodcast.com. So craig@inglespodcast.com. Or to Reza at belfastreza@gmail.com. Also, please remember to write a short review and give us some stars, algunas estrellas in iTunes, so that more people can find our podcasts. So, goodbye from me.
And goodbye from him.
See you next episode. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, and it's licensed by Creative Commons under a by NC license at ccmixter.org.